Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Thy wisdom and thy understanding, though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walked in bad ways and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord.
Thank you for tuning into the broadcast once again. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. I trust that you've had a blessed week and that everything has come into alignment with what you have been believing God for. I also trust and always pray that motivationally you will move into what God has for you in your walk on this earth. And it's all determined by God. He is the one that orders our steps. Well, you know, I tell you from week to week why I do this broadcast, and it is to motivate, to uplift, to exhort, to encourage someone You may be out there and you may be feeling down. You may be feeling perplexed and discouraged. It is not a fun feeling, let me tell you. I have been there many, many times, and it's like an experience I don't like, and I try to avoid it at all costs. But there are times when there's just no avoiding it. Discouragement does come. Things come to cause us to think negatively, and we have to fight in those times. We really do. We really have to will ourselves to go forward in those moments. And, you know, I always say, you know, if I ever get discouraged again, I'm going to make sure I move through it. And it seems like now that I have made those determinations, let me tell you something. The act of moving forward, of motivating myself, the circumstances change. You know, so God kind of, I'm going to say, ups the ante on you. Once you have learned to navigate through dark times, in one instance, there comes another instance where the stakes, the issues are so much more different, and you say, wow. And still, that place is still there where we have to trust God. And that's what he does it for, because he wants us to be continually reliant upon him. Now, how do we get to that place? Because I'm going to be very transparent with you today. When I've gotten to those places, I don't always look to God. I tend to just, like, really act like a spoiled kid and say, you know what? I don't want to trust you today. I don't want to pray today. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't. And I believe this long enough, and look what has happened now. And so I do get to those times, and I have found that no matter what, I have overcome. I've had to, when pushed back down in that place, I have to, again, continually remember that God is God, Jesus is Lord, and that he is in control, and this is just a test. The test may be harder. You know, I am a law school graduate, and a first time, mind you, I don't say it often, first time passer of a very, very, very difficult bar exam. And when your tests tend to get more difficult, even though God still has the income, but the outcome in his hands, but the tests tend to get more and more difficult with your blessings. And I remember taking that test, and it was no way. I mean, I really had to depend on the word of the Lord that was given to me by a lady. Well, she lived in Atlanta, and I remember visiting her, driving through Atlanta, going to Detroit. She was a friend of my sister's, but she was a prophetess, and my sister said, well, you know, you're about to take the bar exam. Why don't you just drop by and see, I forgot her name. I know her name, Prophetess Doris. And so I dropped by her house there in Atlanta, and she prayed with me. She told me, you're going to take this bar exam, and you're going to pass. She says, you should fast 30 days, and the questions are going to become very clear to you, and you will pass. Okay, well, after Prophetess Doris told me that, I got arrived in Michigan and Lansing to take my test. I tried to do most of what she told me to do. Fasted for 30 days, well, somewhat. I recall trying to refrain from eating as much as possible. And I can recall, even as I sit here today, I can recall, like, what I did was bought these vitamin packs. You know, those big old vitamins. And that's what I would take most of the day when I was trying to refrain from eating food. I remember that when I arrived in my hotel the day before I was to take the bar exam, I just couldn't take it anymore. I passed by McDonald's and I just got a couple of hamburgers and went with it. Well, certainly, you know, God knows our hearts, and there I go today with the heart. I'm going to talk about that. But when I said, well, you know what, God, I've complied with most of what you told me to do. This is a very important exam, very difficult exam, very intense, 6 hours a day for 2 days. And I'm going to have to trust you with this. And I did. I went into the exam. And I can't recall my thought processes at that time, but certainly with an effort to pass the bar exam, when I left, I felt like I knew nothing about the exam. I felt like that was the most difficult thing I've ever gone through, and, you know, it would have to definitely be God for me to pass the exam. And I think it took maybe 2 or 3 months to find out. But finally, a letter came saying I passed the exam. And I couldn't imagine anything more difficult, but even, you know, today, I'm sure the students today, I understand it's much, you know, it's the same, but more difficult. I can't imagine. Those are the things we have to go through in our life lessons. Those are tests we have to take. And the tests in our life is, you know, when we go through a dark time and we have to continually seek out God, see what he has to say, and keep moving forward. You might say to yourself, well, this is the most difficult thing I've ever had to do. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen this kind of situation. Never heard of it. What am I to do? I'm so helpless. Well, those are the times that we're supposed to move forward. Continue to move forward until we see God's will in the situation and the darkness is removed. That brings me to the same scripture for this program, which is 1 Corinthians 13:12. It provides for it, and this is the Amplified Version. For now, we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, a blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or enigma. The first thing I would just want to say, and I'm not going to dwell here because I want to get something in before the broadcast is over. Have you ever driven a vehicle and it's raining really hard? You're trying to see through the windshield, and you don't have your windshield wipers on yet. And you're looking at a blurred view. It's a blurred view of everything. It's so difficult. It's dangerous. It's uncertain. And you have to really do something to get around it, and that is put your windshield wipers on. Well, that's kind of what God is telling us here in the Word that we look through. That's how we look through life. That is the dark glass. It says, in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, when we seek out the face of God, when we seek out his will for our lives, we shall see in reality what the real deal is. You know, he's going to give it to us, the real deal, the reality of the situation, and face-to-face. So you can't find out the reality of any situation without dealing with that situation face-to-face. And it is so interesting how things, people can look until we deal with the reality, the truth of the situation, and that is the closer you move to it, of course, the more you can see. And then truth is revealed. Sometimes situations are much better when we go closer to them and to deal with them, or they're much worse. And so we have to move closer, though. Whatever the reality is, that's the only way we're going to discern God's will for the situation. It says, now I know in part, imperfectly. Our understanding is simply not good enough. God is going to enlighten our understanding so we'll know his full will. But then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I've been fully and clearly known and understood by God. Let me tell you, if we can see and understand the way God understands, that is clear vision. That is absolute clarity. And that is what I always will to do all the time, because we can't drive anywhere with the windshield all covered with rain, as I attempted to do the other day. You can't do it. If you're going to go nowhere, or you're going to go, you might hit something or slide into something. And certainly, when our vision is cleared up, then we will have a clear pathway. And the other scripture which I usually cite in the program is Psalm 37:25. I've been young, and now am old, yet I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I can really talk about that. I've been citing that scripture since the beginning of the year, and I know a lot about that. God is educating me day by day about that as well. Well, so today I'd like to talk to you about the matters of the heart. After I completed the series of broadcasts regarding the intercessory prayer model of Jesus, and I talked about the conscience, I became more curious about those mechanisms that God puts in each one of us. I know he constructs your body. He puts together your arms, your legs, your head, your brain, and your mouth, and your ears, your feet. But do you know that he has put together a complete machine when he makes a person? When you come out of your mother's womb, you are complete. He's like manufactured, I come from the Motor City. You know, when you've ever seen one of those cars come off the line, off of a, auto line, an auto factory. My dad was an auto worker, and he worked in the auto factory, and I've seen a couple of cars come off of the line. Well, that's how we are. When we are made by God, and we exit the womb, we are made a complete machine. Yes, a physical machine of flesh. But there are things that he implants in the human body and the human, in mankind, so to speak, that cause us to operate and cause us to work. And it's funny, he did make us differently. I have scripture for that. But there are also things within, like I talked about the conscience that he used. That's not something I can put my hand on. I can't shake your conscience like I can shake your hand. I can't kick your conscience. No, it's kind of like an unseen element of our mind, of our spirit that's placed within. And I can't, hit your heart. In fact, that's what I've entitled this broadcast, The Matters of the Heart. I can't do anything with your heart. Now, I can break your heart and my heart, and my heart has been broken. How is it done? How can that be when we can't see the heart? And so I in looking at the conscience, you know, how God put it in within us, how it works, I began to just explore the makeup of the human, of mankind, and what he uses to make us as people, make us individually, how it works, how do we make the most of it. I want to make the most of what God put in me, my conscience, my heart, my spirit, my mind, my thoughts. I want to be successful with those things. And certainly, if God is giving me a cue about those things, or is telling me how to deal with it, or what it means to me to deal with it, then I want to be successful. Just like I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to, you know, deal with my body. Where there are other aspects of my being that I want to work on, I want to know what God is saying to me about those things. If he's speaking to me like he speaks to me in my spirit, I can clearly tell what he's speaking to me in my spirit. And I believe it's been a benefit to me when I hear things that are not, I mean, you know, no one told me. Something is presented to me that is not like with a book or a TV or something. It's a, like a cue. But it comes from within, but I can't tap on it. I can't put it in a bottle and retain it for you to look at, you know, if I want to tell you about it. It is unseen, but certainly it is. The important thing is that it is significant and at work in all of us. Now, the devil influences with a voice just like God influences with his voice. And I've actually seen people. I know that I had a young man one time who was in my profession as a judge came before me and told me that the devil told him to rob a bank. He continually said that he was hearing voices to rob this bank. He did act on it. He didn't have a gun. He just went in with a note and told them to give him money. And he had, this young man had significant psychiatric problems that had developed prior to him committing this act. His mother also too had been committed to a mental institution several times. He continually alluded to a voice that told him to do this thing. So, you know, we have a voice that controls us, that at least attempts to influence us, is good and bad. The heart is a voice. It has such a big influence on what we do every day. You say, well, I want to do good. How does the heart help me do good? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That tells me, and it tells you, that the heart involves every issue in your life. Does the heart influence how I do my work at work? Does the heart influence who I love, who I marry, who I like as a friend, who I don't like as a friend? Does the heart influence, you know, my hobbies, what I like to do, what I like to watch on TV? Believe it or not, it does. And so it is a very important mechanism that God has placed within. Motivationally, we should even listen to it because it can influence the passions and our enthusiasms, I think, to do good as well. The heart is mentioned in the Bible at least 1,000 times, and so it is very much controlling in what people have done before us and what has happened now and what is going to happen in the future. And that's why I'm interested in it, because certainly if it has a controlling influence in my life, God put it there, and I want to know why. The heart is the seed and core of even what we say. The scripture, I'm going to quote it in just a moment before we go off the air, says that out of the abundance of our heart we speak. I have learned to interpret that. Oh, my goodness. The heart is the seat of what we say. So if someone starts talking, we are going to learn what their heart is saying. You know, I'm a music enthusiast. I love music, but I recall the song by the Stylistics, Listen to Your Heart and What It's Saying. Stop, look, listen. Listen to your heart and what it's saying. It is very easy, if you're trained, to know what someone's heart is saying. Just listen to what they're saying. It's easy. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what I want to do, I don't know how long I'm going to be here talking about the heart. I want to educate myself as well as maybe educate you, the listener, about your heart or someone's heart. And is there a way to positively be motivated by our hearts? It has a lot to say about who we are, and I want to know what the heart is in me so that I can make sure that the mechanism that God put in me is going to positively control me. And there are so many scriptures, like I said, about it. But I did find one, Luke 7:45. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Out of the good treasure, he's going to bring good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And that in the heart. There's good and evil in that heart. And the treasure is what is in the heart. And we've already seen in Proverbs 4:23 that we have to guard our hearts. Now, I have experienced a broken heart. And there are things that you have to do. Let me say, first of all, I don't know if any of my listeners have experienced a broken heart. I'm going to say that you have. And if you have, it is not fun at all. And I have in my life said, you know, if I can avoid having a broken heart, I will do what I can to avoid having a broken heart. Now, you don't want to harden your heart, but, you know, what we do with our heart determines what our heart will do to us. Good can come out of it and evil can come out of it. So that's why we have to guard it. All diligence means with everything we can, we have to guard our hearts because it's so important to us. And I mean, that broken heart, you can't fix it. You can't call the plumber and shut it down. It is something within that we cannot control, but it does control our intellect, our very being. And so it is very important. This is another scripture, this Matthew 13:15, that I'm going to go to a brief secular meaning of the heart and then the biblical meaning. But this is a scripture I found. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. So if your heart is hard, if your heart is messed up, you're not going to be able to hear God's voice clearly. You're going to have dull hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. That means you're not going to see everything spiritually that you need to see, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. We understand things with their heart. Understanding is brought about when our heart understands. We understand a lot of things. And love, we understand hate, we understand danger, safety, peace, joy. It's all experienced with our heart. And so I think it's important to train it. Because I want to see naturally, and I want to see spiritually, very clearly, not through that dark glass. And so maybe I should be doing some spiritual exercise or doing something to control this heart. If it's going to break me down, if it's going to make me down and out, I want to make sure that my heart is healthy, that my heart is guarded. And the last part of the scripture, that's Matthew 13:15, says, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Well, conversion takes place with the heart. And so that's the beginning, the initiation of our spiritual walk. Let's see, Proverbs 4:4 says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and store things in our heart. And I believe that's where the treasure is. You know how you want to save a stash for a rainy day? Well, you put it in something. You save it. You put it away. it becomes a treasure after a while. Hopefully it will. A treasure, you know. And that's what we do with our hearts. Also, we put things there. We retain things in our heart in a spiritual way. And he says we're going to live if we keep God's words in our heart. So there are ways that leads me to believe and know that I can train my heart. I can influence my heart the way my heart influences me. Let's see. And so it's very important. Now, if you don't pay any attention to your heart, anything can happen. It's going to be influencing you. It could, you know, it could be broken. It can be influenced by negative things, which I'll probably get to talk about next week. There is a the word heart is in the Greek text. Most of what I've read today, well, there's some Old Testament references, but it means cardia, and you're probably familiar with that word cardia, like in cardiac. In the Greek text, it's biblically defined as the affective center of our being and the capacity of moral preference. And it is the producer that makes us tick. That's a biblical definition. It establishes, through desire and our decisions, who we really are. That is our heart. Let's see. This is the Greek. No, this is still the Greek I'm trying to get. And it is universally, it denotes the seat and center of all physical and spiritual life, our heart, the vigor and sense of physical life, the heart. Okay, I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to... it says, the center and seat of spiritual life, the soul or mind as it is, the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. Well, I am going to stop right there. I didn't get very far today. What I just want to introduce and cause you to know is that we have a lot of things, a lot of mechanisms that God placed within us that control us. And we may not even be aware of them, but they have a significant impact on our day-to-day things that we do and say and interactions, our passions. And I know that God places things within us. He does, and he wants us to retain those things in our hearts. And that's how we get to walk out his will for our life. He has a certain will already outlined. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk where he wants me to walk. I want to be who he has called me to be. And I want to increase my sensitivities to the degree that I am walking right where he wants me to. And I'm going to use my heart and use my soul and my spirit. That's another subject, the heart and the soul, and my conscience and my intellect to get what he wants me to get. There are things you just can't do anything about. For instance, you can't sing. I can sing sometimes, but it's in and out, in the shower, you know. There's just some things you know. Your heart doesn't have to tell you. You already know that. If you can sing or not. I can't sing. I wouldn't dare. Maybe if the music is loud and no one hears me very well. but I can't sing. And so I know that. Now, that's something I can put a big black X over. Don't even go there, Miss Brenda. But there are things that God has and for us and laid out for us, and He wants us to accomplish them. And so that is what I'm going to do. It's probably going to take a while, given what I just have done today, which is almost nothing, but the heart means something. Hopefully, I mean, even if you want to explore it on your own, going to the passages of Scripture, there's certainly there 1,000 of them. Well, that is all I have to share with you this time. I would like to thank you for tuning into the broadcast. You may go to blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders to listen to an archived version of this episode. If you have any questions or comments or even a prayer request, please email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a very blessed week.
But I came to tell you, all you gotta do is give it to the Lord. I don't care what you left your house or in your car with. If you learn how to pray, it said men ought to always pray and not faint. I dare you to get up on your feet and say, voice and talk to the person next to you and guarantee them that prayer.